It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot Shore Parks joins us for the 3 o'clock hour, brought to you by Groundworks. Don't let a weak foundation sack your home's value. Schedule a free inspection at groundworks.com. Elliot, I never miss a chance to have you give your Phillies opinion with Jack here. So, Jack, are you prepared?
Can't wait.
Okay. Elliot, you've heard the beginning of the show. Did you think the Phillies made a mistake by punting today's game by partying last night?
Yeah, so... Look, I understand they want to celebrate. When you haven't won the division for 13 years, this is what I've said. Like, this was the next step for the Phillies to win this. So it's impressive that they did it. My only worry is, sometimes I think this team lacks a bit of a seriousness that shows up in big moments. Like, their whole vibe and, like, way they go about things is celebrating, like, a little bit of, like, I don't want to say, like, frat bro culture, but
that's their vibe.
Yeah, it's their vibe. And I think it helps them a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think in moments like last night, it would have helped for somebody to step up and say, you know what? Like, there's still bigger things at play here.
Just the one seed. It's right there. It's right there. We can go grab it. Somebody mentioned to me on Twitter, you don't think the Dodgers are going to celebrate when they win the National League West?
Of course they are.
Let them.
Yeah.
Let them give away a game, and then we don't have to worry about it. They've got a tough series ahead of them. The opportunity to go grab that one seed is there. The Dodgers have the Padres for 3 games, who are next to the Mets, probably the hottest team in baseball since the All-Star break. Let them.
Well, and also, they've done this celebration. Like, the videos are fun to see, for sure.
Yes.
And they definitely go crazy, and they play the song, which, by the way, I'm happy Dancing My Own is back. I think it should stay.
Oh, boy, Rios is going to level you.
Well, Rios' take on that is good, I will admit. It is a good take. But it's their song, and I think they've won a lot of big games with it. But, yeah, I mean, how many times do you need to, you know, do that?
Every year.
Yeah, and there will be chances. You know,
I think there should be.
Yeah, when you have a chance to accomplish a first or second seed, I think that should take precedent.
Party on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, I do think once you pass on partying, that's it.
But you can party anytime you want.
It's not the same.
You don't think these guys can party?
But it's
the moment.
Yeah. I think they would have been. I think had they not actually, it would have shown a level of like seriousness and commitment that would have impressed a lot of people.
It would not have impressed anybody.
Imagine if they came out.
The majority of fans enjoyed watching that last
night. Imagine if they came out and said, you know what? There's bigger things here. We're happy we did it, but we're going to take this one easy because we know that there's more to accomplish.
I'd have said, boom!
I don't know.
I think people would have complimented them.
Said, look how locked in they are. This is the year.
Like you would have said that.
I think the fans would have said
But then
said
there
that.
Are, yeah. there, no, there are, fans enjoy that stuff.
Well, here,
you guys are underestimating how much fans
but I think,
enjoy watching that.
I think
you realize that's why that post-game show is as long as it was last night. And I stayed there watching about all of it.
Look, I agree the fans love it. But I think that with the Phillies, we allow them to do that type of thing because it's who they are. I just don't think the Eagles could get away with
that. Because it's different in football. It's different. Our hats and T-shirts and we move on. We don't pop bottles of champagne.
Right, the celebration in the clubhouse is different.
It only happens if you win the conference title. You win the NFC championship game or the AFC championship game, then they're celebrating. But in basketball, they don't do it. In football, they don't do it. Hockey, they don't do it. Baseball, they do it. I don't know. It's baseball.
I wouldn't normally do this, and we'll get to the Eagles stuff with Elliot in a second, but the one caller who agrees with me, I just have to... David in Westchester.
This is the first one?
Yes. Yeah. Well, Rios was predictable. 215-592-9494. David in Westchester, you're on WIP.
Hey, Elliot, your Parks, how you doing?
What up, David?
You're absolutely right. When I was watching last night, I was jumping up and down. I was cheering. I was yelling. But they have given too many games away with Walker pitching this year to afford to give another one away tonight. You know, bring somebody from AAA and let them pitch. Or, you know, just to hold off until you secure it and, you know, party for the rest of the year when you win the World Series because that's what they want. Mm-mm. And you can't be going and giving this game away. It's too important. And as I stated, I will reiterate, they have given too many games away already this year. They can't afford to give another one away.
Well, maybe if Bryce hadn't watched fly balls that hit the wall instead.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I just think, too.
Thank you, David. I appreciate you agreeing.
Nobody's minimizing their accomplishment.
Yes.
It was one of their biggest accomplishments of the past, whatever many, 13 years. So it's not about saying, you know, there's bigger goals. Like there are, but that's not to minimize what they did. It's more about saying you have an important game today. It's just an important game. Like, it is what it is.
It is not an important game today.
Oh, I disagree.
There's only, what, 5 games left, and they're up a game, half a game. I mean, every game's important.
They're down a game.
Nah, I'm just telling you, that's not the way they... You think Rob Thompson is going to manage this game like he needs to win this at all costs?
He said to him last night, come today to prepare to play, didn't he?
Because he has to say the right thing.
Because it's the right thing.
Well, okay, then the wrong thing would have been to have 2 barrels of beer and everything else in there. Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't supply the players
with
all this stuff and then say, well, tomorrow's a big game. Right. Make sure you guys are ready to go.
Now, it was all basically light beer. So, you know.
They went across the street.
Yeah.
I think they know they got 4 games left after this to still take care of business. I think the Dodgers playing the Padres does play a part in it. I haven't looked at the Brewers' schedule, but I'm pretty sure they got it. Who do they have?
They play Brewers, the Mets this weekend.
Yeah.
They play the Mets. So when I look at the 2 teams I'm trying to stay ahead of, we have the easiest schedule.
Yeah, until the minor league lineup's out there tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, they will tomorrow and the next 3 games.
All right. That's
all I'm saying.
Right.
All right. Elliot, we got to take you to task for something.
Wow.
Can't wait. I can only imagine what of numerous things this is about.
All right, here's what you were wearing the other day.
Yeah, exactly. My Brazil pictures. Where is it now? Yeah.
I couldn't believe this when Jack pointed it out to me.
Yes.
You gave Jalen Hurts' performance on Sunday an A.
I did.
He turned the ball over twice.
Yes.
Threw for 0 touchdowns. The offense, 15 points. He did some good things. But you gave him an A.
Yeah. So
this is the highest grade you can give somebody.
Correct. Well, there's an A plus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just fire.
Yeah. No. So look, I will say in the moment, game winning drive, I just gave him an A. I think if you lead a game winning drive,
he threw the ball 5 yards.
Okay. Hold on.
Great read.
All right. Look, everyone said he couldn't do anything pre-snap, and then he does something pre-snap, and it's like, well, that's easy to do.
That's a great read. I thought it was a great read. Great throw. Hit him in stride.
And he recognized the coverage. I mean, it was. It was a good play.
It was.
But. I will say, now obviously having rewatched the game a bunch of times and you're not in the moment, yes, he was much more of a C- that day.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, if you watched...
Oh, you let him bully you.
Well, if you watched...
No, I mean... Because
your eye test is good.
No. What I was saying is I think in the moment you lead a game-winning drive, that needs to be recognized.
I think if you watched a couple of the quarterbacks play last night, you see what an A game looks like.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I'm saying he got it solely because of that. But
I'm, you know,
it's fine.
Okay, you can throw 4 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. That can happen too.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're getting at too, though, is what
Josh is on. Josh is on a.
He's on a tear, man.
Yeah, he's on some type of tear. Remember, he was voted the most overrated quarterback in the league?
His QB rating so far this year is 137. His QBR is 98. He has 7 touchdowns and 0 interceptions, completing 75% of his passes.
Well, did you see Jaden Daniels in Washington? Mm-hmm. They've scored on every single possession, I think, like over the last 18 possessions or something like that. Yeah. They haven't
Daniels
punted.
Has not thrown an interception this year.
Yep, hasn't thrown an interception.
And
I knew he was going to be good.
Yo, that throw.
The throw at the end was unbelievable.
The touchdown throw at the end while he was getting hit was, it reminded me of the Corey Clement throw in the Super Bowl.
In terms of perfect placement.
In terms of, you could only put that ball in one spot. He looks like he's going to be a player.
He's going to be a problem.
Man, holy cow.
Well, I think too, that throw.
He's going to be a problem.
That throw is a difference between a quarterback that can make all the throws and a quarterback that has an actual strong arm.
Well, the thing that I think you were about to say, and I think it speaks to it, is that, and this might be the right thing because of what I think he is as a quarterback, but we have lowered the bar for Jalen so far that they won, and this, yes, it was a game-winning drive is a game-winning drive is a game-winning drive, but we have seen quarterbacks lead game-winning drives, and then we saw what we saw on Sunday, which was not Jalen picking apart the defense, leading the drive. I'm glad he threw the pass, and that was the pass that he had to. But
yeah.
To be fair,
that was 3rd and 16.
He also had a really nice pass to Johnny Wilson right in his hands for a long game that was dropped.
Yeah.
Jalen was good on the last drive. That is what it is, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think to where we are now on Tuesday, I think what's very clear to me is people have misdiagnosed what's wrong with this team, if you want to say that. I feel like the last 2 days, there's been a lot of they're winning despite Nick. I don't think that's the case. I think they're winning despite Jalen over these last year and a half.
You mean in spite? In spite of?
In spite of.
Yeah. Despite, right?
In spite of.
Ooh,
in spite
boy.
Of.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Okay. Isn't it the same thing? Despite?
despite
to do it something despite it. Well, whatever. Spite of, right?
Yes.
Right.
I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
we could turn that into a 45-minute argument.
Yeah, trust me, I was ready to go. Yeah. But yeah.
I could tell. You're gearing up. We're not doing the grammar one. Yeah.
The problem with this team is not Nick's situation.
You have something else, man.
Despite makes sense.
Yes. Okay, yeah. My bad.
I'm sure there's a lot of grammar police
out there. No, believe me. I'm with you.
Spite of Jalen is correct.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I just think whatever. Oh,
thank you, Mr. Bloomberg.
Yeah. Will you look up despite too then?
Well, despite Jalen is correct, but I don't think it was what you were trying to say.
Okay.
I'm trying to say in spite of Jalen.
Yes. In spite of Jalen. Okay.
Okay. All right, we got it. Yes. Keep it rolling.
The reason this team struggles is not because of Nick Sirianni's situational play call, the situational decision making. I disagreed with the decision at the end of the first half, to be clear.
Okay.
Right. I thought I didn't like the decision and I didn't like the play call. So that was bad, right? But over the first three games, the bigger issue by far has been Jalen's turnovers. And it was the bigger issue on Sunday. That game wasn't close because of Nick Sirianni. They didn't win in spite of Nick Sirianni. They won because the defense was awesome. And like the fact Jalen turned the ball over twice should have been enough to lose the game. If you look over the first 2 weeks of the season, teams that lose the turnover battle, I think they're like 7-26 or something like that.
The Eagles got two of them.
The Eagles got, well, that's despite the Eagles. Or that, now I can't come in. That's not counting the Eagles.
Oh, it's not counting.
That's
Eagles.
Other
okay.
teams. There's like 7-26.
Okay.
If you look since week one of last year, since with the stretch where Jalen has more turnovers than any other quarterback in the NFL, the Eagles are 7-6.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been able to win in spite of Jalen turning the ball over nonstop. Normally, if your quarterback turns it over that way, you don't win.
Sure.
Right?
I agree. Yeah.
So they got out of that game, and Jalen was awesome on the final drive. Like, he deserves credit. All that's true. But they won that game even though they got two turnovers from the quarterback, and that's the biggest problem. It's not Sirianni. Sirianni's game managing is not the biggest problem. Jalen's turnovers is the biggest problem with this team.
I agree some. It certainly is a problem. But if Nick Sirianni is taking points when he needs to take points, when he's making decisions out there, and I'm speaking primarily about Sunday. I don't really have a problem in the Atlanta game. I know a lot of other people did.
Yeah.
I did not have a problem in the Atlanta game with Coach going for it and not going for it. But Sunday, I thought he was pressing, and quite frankly, that trickles down to the players because you're putting pressure on them to convert for you in the decision that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, if you're putting points on the board and maybe the score is 6-3 or what have you, then maybe the quarterback doesn't feel the need to have to try to score when he's down there and make that throw. I'm not excusing the throw, but I can't excuse Nick's play calling decisions and decisions to go for it as if that didn't have an impact on the offense as well.
I agree with both things. I agree with Elliot in that overall the bigger thing has been the turnovers from Jalen. If I think the thing that I get back to is if you allowed me to bet which one is easier to solve, it's Nick. He knows what I don't care what he says in that.
Right.
I care what he says in the press conference. I care what he says in the interview. I don't want to say I don't care.
He knows that wasn't a good decision.
Yeah. When I say I don't care, I mean, I don't know. Think he always says exactly what he believes, and that's the correct thing.
It's easier to make that decision than it is to play quarterback, is essentially what you're saying.
Yes. Because they have said, ultimately, they have. And I do think he's pressing. I said it yesterday. I do think
don't think he is.
I think he's putting.
Oh,
trying to put.
Nick.
Nick.
Oh yeah.
I think his play call, his decision making is mostly the same it's been during his time here. I mean, they've gone for it on fourth. I think more than any other team.
Yeah, that's really the only one that I have a problem with.
And honestly, in the Super Bowl, he was conservative there too, and he kicked that field goal instead of going for it on fourth. So I think this idea.
But that's the inconsistency that everybody is complaining about. If you're going to be this aggressive guy who goes for it, didn't go for it when it's 4th and 6 in the freaking Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was a mistake. I agree.
Right, but then don't tell me how ballsy you are, and I'm going to do everything I can to win the game when there's 3 points to be had on the board and he doesn't take them.
Which is why I think even in the Super Bowl, it got in his head.
It did.
You know, Which is why I said yesterday, I think part of the problem with Nick currently is the situation that whether the Eagles meant to do this or
that they
not.
They put him in.
Yeah. I think he is in a situation. Just let me finish.
No, go ahead.
I think he is in a situation where at least publicly, and Nick very clearly hears what's going on publicly.
Of course, yes.
Which
yes.
is a mistake on his end to react to what is going on publicly. But I do think all of the offseason conversation, which, you know, you said yesterday we're responsible for. I think we're responsible for in part. I think a lot of what came out of the Eagles, whether it's something they said or whether it is something that was leaked, I think the image of Nick to everyone, to media,
they didn't do him any
and,
favors.
Yeah, and yeah. to fans is that this guy's not doing anything this year.
Right.
All he's the coordinators. Right. And there's no way he doesn't hear that as a...
Well, we can all agree Nick obviously impacts the game based off the reaction of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, then now everyone's sort of in a tizzy, and he's in a tizzy because there is a lack of clarity. And that's why when he said... We have the quote somewhere when he said, well, once in a while, he's gonna overrule Kellen.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't normally be a problem for a head coach whose background is offense. Of course. We think of course. But in this particular situation, that everything is now so weird publicly about what his role is, I think it could get into his head.
Well, I also think there's a little bit of, there was those 9 days... Excuse me, after the Tampa loss to when it was confirmed he was coming back, where the perception, true, not whatever, is the Eagles were seriously considering firing him.
Yep.
So now, when there is when there is any type of mistake, the thing from fans is, well, this guy almost got fired anyway, so clearly he's the problem.
Which is why he's a lame duck without being a lame duck. He has more than 1 year on his contract, but he feels like a lame duck coach right now.
Yeah, I think all that's true. But I also, if you look at the game, there were like four key fourth downs decisions he made, and I think he probably got three of them right. So the one was bad. I disagree with the logic of it. I wouldn't have done it. But all day yesterday it was, you know, is Nick close to getting fired? They won in spite of him. Like, Jalen was the one that turned the ball over twice. Like, it's shocking to me that, like Nick's become the punching bag. Nick's where all the blame goes. And I think Jalen is escaping a little bit because he has had a major turnover problem. And that's the biggest issue with the team. Like,
you think Jalen is escaping criticism?
I do, yeah.
More than he
now, look, he's
normally.
The quarterback.
This dude has been criticized all three games.
Yesterday? You would know more than me. I mean, but...
Well, here's what I'm saying. Is that he's a topic of discussion every week.
Yes, agreed with that.
So, and unless we haven't been doing much praising of Jalen Hurts through the first 3 weeks. So what's the opposite?
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, but yesterday, I'm talking about the reaction to this game.
Well, it was more Nick yesterday.
Yes.
But here's where I agree with you, and in the sense that I think there's a portion of Jalen's fan base, right? These people that are just Jalen fans. They feel like he gets criticized too much. Yesterday is an opportunity to not criticize him and criticize someone else, even though he had the two turnovers in the game.
I think the difference is shown in this way. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they won on Sunday, and I think most of the focus on Jalen was they won the game. He led the game-winning drive. They won. Blah, blah, blah. So he ends up with some credit after that. Mm-hmm. Whereas it seems like the situation that Nick is in, here's the difference between Jalen and the difference Jalen and Nick is Jalen is capable of getting credit, whereas Nick is not capable of getting
credit. It's all criticism. That's true.
So if they win, it's let's say Saquon catches that ball against Atlanta.
Nick's not getting the credit.
It's Kellen.
Kellen's
it's Saquon.
Yeah.
It's Jalen. Jalen threw a dime. Saquon's the best free agent signing ever.
Right.
Kellen Moore, finally, we got a real play caller.
Yep.
But going into New Orleans and winning, everybody's, what resolve? And we tried to talk about it yesterday. Well, where do you think they get that resolve?
Well, so that's my thing. And I'm curious for your guys' perspective and Jack on this too, since he is not the biggest Nick guy. Like, I don't get why Nick doesn't have the fans that you talked about that Jalen has. Like, I understand why people like Jalen, right? I get that. He's a like all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick has come here. He turned the franchise around. When he got hired, no one wanted to work with Howie. They had just won 4 games. They didn't have a quarterback. They had major front office problems. Nick got here. They made the playoffs the first year. Second year, they almost won the Super Bowl, right? Third year, obviously a disaster at the end, but they did make the playoffs. And I think from a personality perspective, Nick is the closest thing I'll ever see in my lifetime to a Philadelphia fan on the sideline coaching the Eagles. Mm-hmm. So it just surprises me that...
Well, they don't want a fan coaching the team. That's part of the problem.
I agree with Ike there.
But also, you hear, you know, you want coaches or players to relate to the fans. Obviously, people love Bryce, right, because of everything he does.
Yeah.
Like, Nick does all that same stuff.
But he's the coach. So that's the part. Right or wrong, this is what people view. They don't want their coach to feel like he's a player. They want him to be the adult in the room. They want him to be the level-headed one. They don't want him to be the emotional one. Right, it's okay to show emotion when you win or what have you, or have a little passion.
Yeah.
But Nick, and we've seen him, he's so up and down on the sidelines with his emotions. You don't see many other coaches, if any other coaches in the league, doing that.
Act that way.
I also think generally people would rather, it's a lot easier mentally as a fan to feel, if all we change is this one guy, then everything's fine, as opposed to being a little more honest about with yourself about, no. It reminds me of when Brett Brown was a coach and everybody wanted to blame Brett Brown, his rotations I would hear about all the time. I was like, you're telling me that playing the eight guys in a different order or something is going to change the outcome of this? So I think what it is there is an emotional response to saying, as the coach,
I think that's definitely part of it. I think you're right that, you know, maybe they want, like, look, a lot of fans grew up with the Andy Reid type of head coach on the sideline. So they're used to seeing something different with a successful head coach. But the resume is there. And to your point, Spike, you could argue. So when in the offseason, when Jeffrey Lurie spoke and he talked about why this team collapsed last year, he said they showed no resiliency I'm paraphrasing, something along those lines. Like, that team showed a ton of resiliency on Sunday.
Sure.
And I think that Nick deserves credit for that.
I agree with you.
We're Nick guys. I'm a Nick guy. But I also understand where people...
But if you look at the quarterbacks that turn it over as much as Jalen, the top 10, they're either all bad or they're Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff. And we both agree they have great head coaches. So I just don't know why Nick doesn't get that same level of respect.
All right. We have, speaking of Kellen Moore, Nick talked, was it this morning when he talked about when he would call plays?
Yes.
So he was on with WIP Morning Show this morning. He talked about when he would actually call a play. We'll talk about that. And Teddy Bruschi and Rex Ryan had a really interesting debate about taking the blame for what goes wrong. Mm-hmm. And we will talk about that next with Elliot. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.